It is good to see everybody here this morning. Excited to celebrate the Lord's Day with you and also Mother's Day. We've been going through a series called Who is Jesus? And we're going to kind of stick with that, and we'll see some of the things we learn about Jesus today are the same things we see in our parents and in moms and dads. So I'll be excited about that. We'll be in John chapter 10 as you work your way there. How many of you, I know this might not hit everybody, but how many of you have ever driven through a construction zone? Good, most of us. What do you see when you're driving through the construction zone? Orange cones. What's that? Guys standing around. What else do we see? So we see orange safety cones and lazy people. What else do we see? Signs. Equipment. Flashing lights. Never finished projects. Sometimes you see police cars with just their lights on, but there's no police there because when you get to the construction zone, the speed limit is reduced, right? And so as you look at all those things, we talked about what's the main color in construction zones? Not just orange. Safety orange is a legitimate color designed for construction zones. Safety orange is what's out there, and we have people that, some of you talk about lazy people, we have people that work on those. I'm not going to point out who that is, but I know they work hard. But all these things are there, and all these signs are there for several reasons. One, they're warning you as a driver, like, what you knew on how to drive on this road has changed a little bit. Maybe you've seen the sign where the three arrows turn this way, meaning the lane that you used to drive on is not a lane anymore. You're going to have to shift. Or there's the uneven ground, or this lane is going to end. You need to get over. All these signs are kind of giving us guidance on how to navigate through that area better. But the signs aren't just for us. They're for the lazy workers as well, right, Jan? That as they're standing around, not doing anything, that you don't hit them. So all the signs are there to get you onto the right path, but to protect the people that are supposed to be working on the roads, that actually are working on the roads. Not making fun of everybody. So they serve this purpose, which is a great illustration. We'll talk about that for what Jesus talked about himself today, being the door. And so as we get there, I want to highlight a couple things of why go through a series like this. There are lots of times that Jesus talks about himself, but there's seven statements in John that stand out more. And it's because of this. Jesus uses a Greek phrase, and I'll put it up on the screen for you, so now you can go, that's all Greek to me, but I learned Greek today. Here it is. Anyone know what that says? Ego, a me. So think of it this way. Breakfast, ego, right? And then Canadian, a, and then me. Ego, a me. Ego, a me. Ego means I. A me is the verb to be, means I am. And so Jesus is kind of, when he's saying this, he's emphasizing who he is. He's not just saying, I am this. He's saying, I am this, or I myself am this person. He's being very emphatic. And so when we hear him say these things, our ears should perk up. And I put it this way, because we have been children, or we have children or grandchildren. And so children have a tendency to get in trouble sometimes, right? Linda has three boys, and her favorite moments when they do happen are when they all play nice together. But sometimes they don't, and sometimes I didn't. So when children get in trouble, there's three stages that you know you're in trouble. Stage number one. Who left a mess in the kitchen and didn't clean it up? There's a little bit of agitation, but there's the question, and the parents want to know what's happening, right? Have you ever been in that stage before? Stage number two. Brian, can you come downstairs real quick? It's not a question. It's a statement. Right, Mom and Dad? There's a little more agitation in the voice. And then there's stage number three. I'm going to pick on Matt because he's here. Stage number three is this. Matthew, Michael, you get down here this instant. Right? It is the trifecta. It is not Matt anymore. It's Matthew. It's the extended name. And the middle name is thrown in there. And when you get the trifecta of no abbreviations and all three names, life as you know it is over. Right? If you're playing with your friends or your brothers or sisters or your cousins, everyone, no matter what fun was happening, everyone stops all of a sudden like, and they have this look in their eyes like, well, it was nice knowing you. but it's over. And when parents use all three names, you know it's serious. When Jesus says, ego a me, it's like using all three names. It's serious. He really wants you to get this. He's not only tying himself, because that I am statement is a statement of who God is. He's tying himself to the divinity of who God is, but he's making a bold statement about who he is. And that's why we're going through these series. We want to see what Jesus says about himself, and how does that help us? Today, when we pick this up, Jesus is teaching that he is the door, or that he is the gate, and we're going to talk about that. And that's a lot of ways. The door is kind of like the cones and the signs in the construction site, meant to guide and lead us through, meant to keep us aware, but it's meant for some protection and safety as well. And so that's what we're going to talk about. The main kind of bottom line I want you to see as we work through this, and it'll sound silly, but work with me. Stop trying to run through a brick wall when Jesus has already made a way. You and I keep trying to run through this brick wall like we're going to get somewhere. And I got to tell you what, brick walls don't move by a person running into it. But why do we keep running into a brick wall when Jesus has already made a way? And so that's what I want to kind of talk about today. We're going to be in John chapter 10. We're going to read the first few verses. I invite you to stand as we read from John 10 if you can. I know for some of you it might be a little more difficult, and that's okay. Even if you're at home online and sitting on the couch, I encourage you to stand. If you're listening while you're driving, sitting is okay. So, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and they lead him out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for revealing to us who you are. And as we sit and pick through what it is that you're the door, it sounds like such a weird thing to say about yourself. But God, would you amaze us with why you used this illustration now and what it meant for your listeners then and what it means for us today. So God, help me to get out of the way. You do the work you need to do through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Interesting passage. I love it. We're going to be in John chapter 10 this week and next week. And Jesus, it's just really good the way he does this. But before we jump into John chapter 10, we need a little background. Like, why would Jesus all of a sudden go into this talking about sheep and pens and shepherds and all these things? In John chapter 9, we read a story about a man that was born blind. Never seen a day in his life. And so while he's in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he runs into Jesus, and Jesus, I think, spits on the ground and makes some mud and heals him so that he can see again. And so, like, it's like, oh, amazing, right? It's like, that's amazing. A man who's never seen a day in his life can all of a sudden see again. But the leaders of the church are so upset at Jesus. They're so frustrated with him, and they're frustrated with the man that was healed. They're upset with Jesus because he's disrupting their order. They're upset with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath, which is a huge no-no. So they're just upset all the way around. And so as they're talking to the man that's been healed, he's like, well, yeah, no, I've been healed. Like, well, no one just comes along and heals. Well, this guy did. He must be a sinner. He's like, I don't know if he's a sinner. Like, but who else can heal someone like me except for God? You can't talk. And they just get in this argument. And so finally they go to his parents. Tell us. And they're like, hey, man, like, yeah, he's our son, but we're going to let him tell the story. Because they were afraid of the religious leaders, because if they disrupted the system, what you're going to find is the man gets kicked out of the synagogue. He's disbanded. He's disbarred. He's excommunicated. He is not welcome there anymore. How dare you disrupt what we set up? Get out. And so Jesus is like, wait a minute. Why are you kicking this guy out of the church? Let me tell you what I'm really about. I'm really about being a door that invites people in. So that's what John chapter 10 is really getting at. Does that make sense? You got to read John chapter 9 to understand John chapter 10. So as we read through this, Jesus says in verse 7, there's a lot about the shepherd, and we'll get into that next week as we talk about Jesus being the great shepherd. But verse 7, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. First thing I want you to see that doors do is doors protect. Doors are there to protect people. So back in the day, when you go back in this time, because honestly, when I'm reading this story, and you're probably with me, the Bible calls us sheep a lot. But how many shepherds do we have in here? How many people have hung out with sheep for an extended period of time? Right, not many of us, right? Sheep have their own mind, and they talk about them being some of the just dumbest, most, like, not smart animals in the world. But we don't get it, because, like, we don't understand sheep. I think a better analogy for us is, like, we're not sheep, we're cats. And you might go, oh, I like cats. I love cats. But cats are selfish jerks, right? They will only let you pet them when it's their time to be pet. And don't you try it any other time. I'm living my own life here, and if you get in the way and like, oh, this is a fun game, pat, 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 and then you're like bleeding. And so cats are brutal. They're mean. They're selfish. They just want to do their own thing. We are not sheep. We're cats, everybody. I was going to show you a video. There's a great commercial of herding cats because they talk about herding cats is an impossible task. And that's us. God is trying to herd cats. But we're going to go with the sheep analogy because Jesus uses that. So the shepherds, they would watch their sheep throughout the day, and at night they would bring them to this pen, usually connected to a house or not. And the pen would have a wall that might be 3 or 4 feet high, and it's just built with rocks. And then they would put some bristly, thorny things on top of it. And so as the shepherds came in, it wasn't just one person's flock that brought them in. Several shepherds would bring their flock into the pen. And they would all send them into the pen, and that's the whole illustration of when the shepherd comes, he calls his sheep by name, and they follow him. So when shepherd one comes, he calls out the name of his, and he knows all his sheep by name, but shepherd one sheep all come to him, but shepherd two sheep don't come to him because he's a stranger. But when shepherd two gets there, you get it. So all those things. But they bring them all to this pen. And guarding the pen at night, there's one way in, there's a wall, and there's one opening. And that's the gate or the door. And what happens is you have the gatekeeper or the door. And the door, the gatekeeper, stays there all night, watching over the sheep, protecting the sheep, guarding them, making sure nobody gets in that needs to get in, making sure no sheep get out that shouldn't get out. Oftentimes that gatekeeper would lay and sit down in between the break in the walls and become the door themselves. This is how I'm protecting the sheep. Jesus says, I am the door. I am here to protect the sheep. I'm here to keep the robbers and the thieves out. I'm here to keep the wolves out and the other beasts that want to come in and devour the sheep. I'm here to make sure that none of them get in and attack the sheep. I'm here to protect the sheep. Jesus is there for our protection. And we get this, right? How many of you, if you have a home or an apartment or a condo, have a door on that? How many of you, if you have a fence or gate around your property, have like a gate or a door in that? We get the idea of doors and gates. We have gates and we have doors to keep bad people out and to keep good things in and keep them safe. So we understand that, right? And that's what Jesus is doing. I'm keeping the bad out. I'm protecting those that are mine. And so when Jesus says he's the door, he's reminding us that he's here to protect us. Now, I saw this picture online. I just thought it was a great illustration, Jerry, if you put that up there, of Jesus protecting us. You have this one guy, and all these arrows are just hitting him in his back. One hits the person on the left, and so many times we think, Jesus, I thought you were there to protect me. I thought, what? when Jesus is here to protect us, he's not here to give us this charmed, blessed genie in a bottle of life that nothing bad will ever happen to us. That's the wrong idea of protection, number one. Number two, I don't think you or I realize how much Jesus actually protects us from. If you want a dangerous task for a year, pray every day, God, I don't want you to do anything to help me or save me or protect me in my life. Don't do that. I'm honestly telling you not to do that. Because I think for believers and non-believers, God is protecting us from things that are trying to devour us and destroy us. And so he's protecting us. But it's not this, oh, I'll never, you know, if I believe in Jesus, I'm never going to have a hardship in my life again. If that's what you think, I just want you to talk to some of the people that are in this room and they'll let you know, no, I still have hardship. I still have struggles. I still have hard times. But I have a God that's with me, that's actually protecting me, and the God that's going to carry me through these hard times. Jesus protects us, and he keeps us safe. We get this as parents. Moms, you get this, but it's not just moms. We're talking about Mother's Day. Moms, you want to protect your kids, but dads want to protect their kids. And there's different levels of protection. Some parents are, you know, they can't wait till their kids get to dating age so they can buy a gun and just clean it when any opposite gender comes over, like, so how's it going over, you know? And you're probably going to shoot the gun off in the house accidentally because you don't know what you're doing. But that's a whole other thing. But we want to protect our kids. We want to protect them from dangers. We want to protect them from strangers. We want to protect them from bad TV shows. We want to protect our kids. Right, parents? And the worst thing that happens to parents is when something happens that we can't. That for some reason, and we think we failed, and sometimes it's not even our fault, things happen. And one story for our family, Becky is one of eight kids. And so when she was pregnant with our oldest daughter, Hannah, her oldest sister, Dottie, was pregnant, and her sister-in-law, Shelby, was pregnant as well. So three sisters were pregnant all at the same time. One of those ended up having a miscarriage during that time, so it was just brutal. It was so hard to go through. And women, if you've had a miscarriage or gone through that, you know like how hard that is. It's suffocating. And so it was hard to see that, especially for her, because two more sisters are carrying their baby to term. And so we do all these things. And then we have our daughter Hannah born, and then our nephew was born. And our nephew, we watched them grow up together, and everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, we started seeing things in our nephew where he could sit up before that he couldn't sit up on his own anymore. And then he lost his ability to crawl. And slowly, his body wasted away and dwindled away because he had a rare genetic disorder that couldn't process fats in his body, that his family, before he turned two, just had to watch their son starve to death in front of them. And you're like, no, I'm a parent. I'm supposed to protect my kids. And sometimes there's just things that happen that you can't protect them from. But that's our job, right? That's what we want to do. And so when Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm here to protect parents, you get that. I remember when Dan was first born, those first few weeks, you're worried about Sidge and you're watching over them as they're sleeping at night. You're ready for action at anything. And then by week six, you're like, can she go in another room so I can sleep? Because it's not, but we want to see our kids. We want to protect them. We want to watch over them. We go to great lengths to protect our kids. God goes to even greater lengths to protect us. At the end of the day, he protects us not just from dangers, he protects us from ourselves. He protects us from the cost of our own sins. That he lays down his life to save us. I love what Psalm 5 says. I'm talking about God and his protection. It says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them that all who love your name may be filled with joy. This is what God wants to do for you. To provide you a place of protection. Is it a place of perfection? No. But is there protection there? Absolutely. Jesus as the door provides protection. And just like the traffic cones that are there to protect the workers, whether they're working or not, Jan, I get it, as they're there to protect their workers, they're also there to lead us safely through that zone. So one, doors provide protection. But the second thing I want you to see is that doors provide. And the way Jesus talks about it, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus as the door provides. What does he provide? Number one, eternal life. Whoever comes through me will be saved. Saved from what? Ourselves. You're the greatest threat to your own eternity. Because we all live for our own selfish desires. We all like put God on the shelf and chase after only what we want. We seek not his glory, we seek our own glory. We seek not the things that he wants, we seek our own desires. It's called sin, and every one of us has this problem. Whatever that sin looks like, doesn't matter. We all have this problem. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And yet here comes Jesus saying, I am the door. I'm the door. Whoever comes through me will be saved. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful promise. Not, I'll pick and choose which ones come through the door to save. No. Whoever comes through me will be saved. Jesus provides salvation for us. He provides eternal life for us. The Bible teaches that at the end of the day, you and I, we're going to have to give an account for every careless word, every careless action, every careless thought, every careless whisper. I know. Some of you will get that on the way home. It's all right. But we have to give an account for that. Let me go first. I'm going to be there a long time. I've said a lot of dumb things. I've done a lot of dumb things. I've been selfish. I've pushed others down so I can get better sometimes. I've cared more about myself than other people. The list goes on and on and on. Some of them have been careless and some of them have been intentional. And yet Jesus says, whoever comes through me will be saved. It's a beautiful promise of Scripture and who God is. John 10, later on, as we get down in the story, Jesus says this, I give them eternal life, and listen to this promise, and they will never perish. Just like that. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. And no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. What can snatch you away from Jesus? Nothing. What can snatch you away from the Father? Nothing. When we walk through the door of Jesus, Jesus provides eternal salvation for us. Amen? It's a beautiful process. Second promise in that is this. Not only does he provide salvation, he says this, that they will go in and out and find pasture. So there's this providing of, through Jesus as the door, he wants to lead us to what he later on calls is an abundant life. And I love that word abundantly because it means literally exceedingly more than necessary or extraordinarily. What kind of life does God want you to have? Mediocre? No. Above average? No. Exceedingly, abundantly, overwhelmingly life. That's what God wants you to have. That's the life God has for you in Jesus. Amen? That's exciting. It's like, and sometimes you think, well, no. That's what he's going to lead you in and out to pasture to an overflowing, abundant life. But Jesus, I still have problems. I still have hardships. Yeah, I know. I get that. But in the midst of those hardships, you have an overflowing abundance of peace and comfort and joy and love and hope available for you because of me. That it doesn't matter what this life throws at you. I have got you covered. I will carry you through it. I have secured an eternal place for you. And that is a hope that no one can take away from you. It is abundant. It's not just there to like wet our lips, it is there to drench us. Jesus provides for us an abundant life, which is beautiful because the thief comes to do what? To steal and kill and destroy. There are people that want to come into your life and use you up and then spit you out and find a different sheep that they can find to abuse and do the same thing to over and over again. And Jesus comes to build you up, to strengthen you, and to give you an abundant life. That's what the door does. The door provides. Again, parents, you get this, right? Most parents want to see their kids do better than where they are. They want to see their kids grow and excel further than where they could get to. They want to say, pick up the baton and keep going. I've gotten this far. You keep going, whatever it is. There are some parents that do want to squash their kids and not let them grow at all and keep you down because I'm the most important one here. But most parents want to provide for their kids that they can take off and grow and excel, not just in life, but even spiritually and growing in their faith in Christ. And so we provide for our kids. We go above and beyond for our kids. Maybe we write notes and put it in their lunchbox. Maybe we sit with them and read the Bible and pray at night. Maybe when we make mistakes, we let them see us make mistakes, and we tell them, we walk through the process of that with them, and we apologize for it, and then we let them see how you step up and apologize and keep moving forward, even though you made a mistake. We provide examples for them. We give up our Saturdays. We give up our time. We give up whatever we can to see our kids grow and excel. Most parents want to see their kids have a more abundant life than what they have. And that doesn't even compare to what Jesus wants to provide for us. Overwhelmingly, exceedingly, amazingly abundant life. God has made a way to provide an abundant life for you. Amen? All who enter through me, all who enter through me will be saved. I will be a door that they can come in and out and find pasture. The thief will come to steal and kill to destroy. I've come that you would have life and have it abundantly. And so the question is, what kind of life do you want to have? And Band, you can come on up as we wrap this up, because that's the life that's promised to us in Christ Jesus. I love what Toby Mack says, and it's kind of similar, but it might have got it wrong, but he says this: if we want God to open doors, we have to let go of the handle. Jesus is the door. He's created a way for you to have life and have it abundantly. But if you think you can run through the brick wall to get it or climb over the top, you are mistaken. There's only one way into that protection. There's only one way into that provision, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is simply offered to us by an invitation to come and follow me. And this Mother's Day, I'm thankful for every person here. I'm thankful for all the moms here. I'm thankful for my mom and all she's done. I'm thankful that she pointed me towards Christ. But I'm not saved because of my mom's faith. I'm saved because of what Jesus has done for me, and I walked through that door. Today, that invitation is here for you as well. Would you walk through the door of Jesus to find his protection and his abundant life and eternal life? We're going to finish with a couple songs here. During this first song, we're going to have a time to take the Lord's Supper, where we take the bread and the juice, and we remember that Jesus, that night with his disciples, he laid down his life and said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And as we go to the table, we're reminded of Jesus giving himself up for us to protect and provide us. But as we sing these songs, we'll tell you when that's going to be. If some of the elders just want to get up and be available for prayer, maybe there's some prayer that you need. Maybe as we're talking about walking through this door of faith in Christ and the life that he has for us, maybe that's something you want to know more about, or you have questions about, or a decision you would like to make. Come up and talk to one of these elders, or come up and talk to myself or Pastor Brandon at the end of service, so we can show you and teach you more about Jesus being the door and his invitation to come and find life. Amen? Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you. You are an amazing God. I thank you that you are the door, that you have provided for us salvation, that you have given us protection. And not that everything's going to be perfect, not that everything's going to be blessed all the time, but we'll be blessed all the time because of your presence in our lives. Let the truth of Jesus being the door just ring true in our hearts and minds, not just today, not this just week, but at all times. Lord, I pray for those that need you most, that really need you right now, that they would have the courage and the strength to say, "I want that door. I want to walk through that door of Jesus, and I want to give my life to him." God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.